Ascension Presbytery of the dates listed, Calvary Presbytery of the dates listed, Central Georgia Presbytery of the dates listed, Louisiana Presbytery of the dates listed, Mississippi Valley Presbytery of the dates listed, Tennessee Valley Presbytery of the date listed, Westminster Presbytery of the dates listed, and by common consent would like to include minutes we received late, that of Carolina Presbytery, October 22nd, 1977, January 28th, 1978.
Excuse me, read that more slowly because the commissioners will have to write that at the bottom of page 1 and H, which says Carolina, and then the dates you are about to read.
Yes, sir. These minutes were not available to us when we met Saturday or Monday and came late, so rather than print a new sheet, we just include them by common
consent. Let's have it. That's October what?
October 22nd, 1977.
All right.
January 28, 1978. And April 22nd, 1978.
That is H under G, the bottom of page 2207 for Carolina.
Yes, sir. Move that these be approved without exception but with notation.
Match 1016.
We'll hold your question in the bed while we look. They're looking. Let's just hold recommendations. You know, it seems like you've been on, and we'll come back.
By common consent, you'll be on the post 2208.
Minutes recommended for approval with exception. Under this category, the committee recommends the approval of the following minutes with these exceptions. Central Florida, August 27, 1977, exception being that full information needed on presbytery boundaries are not included in the minutes. Had to do with the division with the new presbytery. The minute said they would accept the boundary suggested by South Florida, but the boundaries are not stipulated. And if a purpose of accurate historical records is the thinking of the committee that these boundaries should be clearly defined. Would you like to take these three items to look at for?
Yes, except I don't think you have to go into a full explanation each one. I think it's right there. You can just say if there's anything needs to explain. If not, go on.
Of April 15, 1978, the exception being William S. Porter was received without examination. The committee recommends that the General Assembly bring to the attention of the Central Florida Presbytery that all men must be examined when they come into the presbytery. Look at Church Order 14.5. May 30, 1978, the exception being the substance of the complaint of Mrs. Jocelyn Elks against Central Florida is not included in the minutes. A reference to the complaint, but the complaint itself is not included. The committee recommends the General Assembly bring to the attention of Central Florida that for the sake of clarity, the substance of the complaint should be placed in the minutes.
Microphone 10.
Kenneth Smith, Central Florida. This May 30th meeting, was it recorded in the minutes of Presbytery?
Yes, sir.
I was with the understanding this letter came right to General Assembly, did not go through Presbytery. I'm involved in this. I'm from Seminole Presbyterian Church, and this complaint is against the church, really.
And I was with the understanding it came right to General Assembly.
Well, for every hearing, there is reference in the minutes, and the committee is saying that that reference in the minutes constitutes an incomplete reference.
We're thinking that we're not making any judgment one way or other about the case. I understand the case has been dropped.
Right.
But for the sake of historical accuracy, the substance of the complaint should be included in the thinking of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Microphone 16. The Calvary Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I have a question. In the April 15th, 78 minutes, does the recommendation here have the force of directing Central Florida Presbytery to examine Mr. Porter?
It says bring to the attention of.
Then it does not have that force.
It does not constitute a command from the General Assembly.
Mr. Moderator,
it doesn't constitute a command that Mr. William S. Porter be examined. It constitutes a reminder that all men must be examined when they come into the presbytery. Now, does that answer your question?
That answers my question, sir, and I would move you an amendment to this that Central Florida Presbytery be directed to either correct the minutes to show that that examination took place or else to examine Mr. Porter.
I accept that amendment that Central Florida either show in its minutes that Mr. Porter was examined or that Central Florida be directed to examine.
Yes,
that is before you. It has been seconded. I think we have a commissioner from Central Florida at microphone 10.
And Mr. Moderator, Russ Kahn, Central Florida. William Porter is a retired minister, and I realize we're in violation of the requirements of the Book of Church Order, but I just thought for the sake of the record, and I don't think we have actually received him yet. We were pending getting a letter from Southern Florida, and he is out in Arizona. And that was the reason, because many of us had known him for several years and so forth, we took this method of receiving him. Maybe that's an extraordinary case, but we probably violated the Book of Church Order, and we'll correct it.
Thank you, Moderator.
What was your last phrase?
We'll correct it.
My last phrase, we'll correct it, or we'll try to correct it.
Mr. Moderator.
Chair of the committee. As a general comment on most of these exceptions, we do not feel there's any malice or subterfuge involved, that one fellow moves from one presbytery and he's got friends in the other, and they say, well, why don't we just take him in? We all know it. We think that this is, though a friendly practice, nevertheless a dangerous practice and an unconstitutional practice, which is why we bring these matters to your attention.
The amendment before the House is the one we're voting on. Are you ready for the amendment, which has the effect of saying, ask the Presbytery to bring its minutes or to perform step differently? If you favor the amendment, will you say aye? Opposed, no. The amendment is added to the motion. Are we ready for the whole motion? And that is for capital A, respecting Central Florida. Are you ready for that? All right. If you will adopt A, capital A, respecting Central Florida, will you say aye? Opposed, no. Mr. Chairman.
Grace Presbytery in the minutes of September 3rd, 1977, with the following exception. In examination of Mr. Brooke Moselle for the session of the Grace Presbytery, there is no record of the approval of the theological examination. The committee recommends that the General Assembly direct Grace Presbytery to either correct the minutes to show that the theological portion of the examination had been approved or to re-examine Mr. Moselle on theology.
I see no one seeking the microphone. If you will adopt a B, microphone 16.
Norman Bagley, Grace Presbytery, Mr. Moderator, to the chairman. There should be a notation for April the 14th, 1978 also, since those minutes were printed USB January 13th, 78. I suppose, I hope those were without exception too. Do no one speaking the microphone, will you accept or will you adopt recommendation capital B for Grace? If so, will you say aye? Opposed, no. Let's go to two.
Mid-Atlantic, meeting of October 21, 1977, and then May 12 and 1378, the Reverend E.C. Cooley and the Reverend William Jones were received without examination. The committee recommends that the General Assembly bring to the attention of all of Mid-Atlantic Presbytery that all ministers must be examined when they come into Presbytery. Microphone 16, moderator, I suppose that in order to be consistent, I must move an amendment to item 11, 3C, that Mid-Atlantic Presbytery either state in their minutes that Mr. Cooley and Mr. Jones have been examined, or else examine these men. And I so move.
It is in effect the same motion that was adopted in the previous instance, and it has been seconded.
May I speak to it?
Yes, sir, you may speak to it.
I hate to keep doing this, but this is a violation of the Book of Church Order, and this, I believe, is important. And friendship notwithstanding, we can very, very easily slip into much difficulty if this practice is continued, and the only way I know to stop it is for the General Assembly to order the presbyteries and direct them to stop it. Thank you, sir.
Microphone 6.
John Harder, Mid-Atlantic.
I think what we're dealing with is really an error in the minutes. I'm the chairman of the Committee of Candidates, and I recall very distinctly that both of these men were examined both by our committee and on the floor of our presbytery, but it apparently did not get reflected in the minutes.
The amendment says that the minutes should be brought into conformity with the Book of Church Order, or else the men should. The amendment is before you. Are you ready to vote on the amendment? If you favor the amendment, will you say aye? Opposed, no. Back to the main motion in respect to Mid-Atlantic. If you favor the main motion in respect to Mid-Atlantic, will you say aye? Opposed, no. Microphone number 5.
That was not on Mid-Atlantic as a whole, was it?
It was Mid-Atlantic in respect to the exception.
I've got another exception, Mr. Moderator.
You have another exception to Mid-Atlantic?
Yes.
Then,
by common consent, let's hear it.
The reason I do, we get the minutes in our office and I always read them over to know what's going on. And because you're dealing with theological education, something came to my attention.
In the May minutes, the record shows that someone has received an examined for ordination, not on the extraordinary clause, and he did not have the Hebrew language because it was not required in the Princeton curriculum, and it cited Book of Church Order 22-4. Now, that's not what the Book of Church Order 22-4 says. It's all right to receive a man without Hebrew, but it has to be the extraordinary clause. And the minutes read that he was examined in all the areas except the original languages, and he was approved to be ordained as an evangelist. There's no mention of the extraordinary clause, and that's contrary to the Book of Church Order. That could be a typographical error, but I'd like to know. Mr. Donahue, there's also provision that says that if any exceptions are made, the presbytery shall vote by 3/4 or something like that, and the reasons therefore be recorded. Is anything of that kind appear? It does not. You hear the problem, you've heard the problem in respect to Mid-Atlantic. I take it you would want to add an exception to the minutes of May to call to the attention of the assembly. Do you want to add a motion or a further recommendation? You better run. All is approved. So we have Mid-Atlantic before us, and with Mid-Atlantic before us, this is probably the easiest place to do it.
Roger, I'm moving to this exception be noted, and at Mid-Atlantic Presbytery be instructed by the General Assembly to correct their minutes or comply with the Bishop's order in this matter.
Correct the minutes or comply with the Bishop's order in the matter of the reception of the minister in May. This is an amendment to the report on Mid-Atlantic. Are you seeking the microphone? If you favor the amendment, will you say aye? Opposed, no. Now then, will you adopt the full report C for Mid-Atlantic as amended? If you will you say aye? Opposed, no. It is so ordered. D. New River. August 27, 1977, was accepted that the record shows that Pastor Wayne Jude was examined and received by the New River Presbytery upon the call of the Faith Presbyterian Church. After examination and reception, he announced that he had been offered a position as a full-time Navy chaplain. He had been reserved. The committee finds the reception of Mr. Dude irregular due to the following series of events. 1. There is no mention of Mr. Dude's former ecclesiastical association. 2. He was examined upon the call of the Faith Presbyterian Church. 3. Presbytery received and enrolled him before the call was placed in his hand. He declined the call, which was the original purpose for his examination and reception. 5. Testimony given to this committee indicates Mr. Dude's present military endorsement is under the Associated Gospel Churches, which is a non-reformed body. The committee recommends that the General Assembly instruct the New River Presbytery to review their dealings with Mr. Dude and his reception into their presbytery. I may further add, Mr. Moderator, that the Committee of Judicial Business suggested in their recommendation to our communication that this be referred to the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business. Having received that, we decided to continue with this, our original recommendation, on the ground that Mr. Geary is not present at the Assembly and the Presbytery could more readily handle the matter. You have heard this with our original recommendation. You have heard the explanation of the chairman for the recommendation, which is B. Are you seeking a mic to speak to this? Microphone 15.
I'd like to add an amendment that, in addition, after Presbytery and report to the committee commissioners on review and control of Presbytery for the 1939 General Assembly.
Come again?
On this particular matter.
Say that again.
And report on this matter to the committee commissioners on review and control of Presbytery minutes of the 1979 General Assembly. I dislike sending something back and not hearing anything else about it.
There's a better way to do this. I'd be glad to let you send it help.
My brother, I don't want to complicate the flow of the time when we are under the press of business. But the minutes of this presbytery will be before the Committee of Commissioners in 1979, with or without instruction.
I don't believe that
mention is necessary.
Do you think it is?
It's properly before you and it has been seconded.
If you favor the amendment, you want to speak to the amendment? Number 12.
Mr. Moderator, Bob Stoot, Justice of Carolina. I'd like to offer an amendment to that suit, an amendment to the amendment. Yes, sir, I'd like to substitute for the Committee of Commissioners on Review and Control of Presbyteries. I'd like to submit committee, permanent subcommittee on judicial business.
You want a report of their actions submitted to the permanent subcommittee on judicial business?
Yes, sir.
That is an accepted amendment to the amendment, and it has been seconded. We are speaking to the amendment to the amendment, March 411. I was on the judicial, the committee of commissioners, judicial business committee, and I think it was sent to us to determine if there was serious constitutional problems or questions. And as we looked at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, we found a number of constitutional questions that were seriously involving the call of this man, especially number 5, and who is supposedly a chaplain. This endorsement of his is under the Associated Gospel Churches, which is not the endorsement of ACC or TCA Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's more questions involving the Constitution favor.
All right. My understanding of our situation is that if the amendment to the amendment passes and then the amendment passes, the Presbyterian will be reporting to the permanent judicial commission in advance of the next General Assembly, which in turn then presumably would be prepared with some sort of recommendation to the Assembly. That's my understanding of the effect of these two amendments. I think you're ready to vote.
If you...
You haven't received either one of them.
Is there some sort of promise from somebody that says, will receive it?
The other people tell me that they didn't examine the
amendment. The amendment to the amendment is that a report,
the report be made to the permanent judicial commission.
Is that correct, Bob?
Subcommittee. If you favor the amendment to the amendment,
will you say aye?
Opposed, no.
It carries.
Now we have an amendment that says
that the Presbytery review its procedures
and report to the permanent subcommittee on judicial business. If you favor this amendment as amended, will you say aye? Opposed, no.
Now we are back, passes.
Now we are back to the main motion, which is the adoption of the Committee of Commissioners, number 2 on New River.
Is that two recommendations here, Mr. Moderator?
A further recommendation. The committee recommends the General Assembly direct New River Presbytery to supply minutes beyond November 1977.
All right.
Are you ready to vote on B as a whole, as amended? If you adopt, will adopt B as a whole as amended, will you say aye? Say no, let's have you.
North Georgia Presbytery, with the exception of
just a minute, March 47.
Merely an editorial change, Mr. Moderator. I think this man's name is good. G-double-O-B,
with no E. You say you think that.
Well, I'll say that his name is Wayne Good.
That is true. I am told it. Capital
right.
Let's go.
North Georgia was accepted January 21st, 1978.
Mr. Carl Wilson, his reception from the Augusta Macon Presbytery to TCUS.
The record contains no mention of his being made to answer questions required by Bishop Church Order 1415. The committee recommends that General Assembly direct North Georgia Presbytery to require Carl Wilson to give affirmative answers to the questions that should be required by 1415.
Microphone 11. 11.
I'd like to remove an amendment. The recommendation is the committee recommends that North Georgia, the General Assembly direct North Georgia to either correct the minutes or to require, as it is contained on.
As we've done before.
This is simply a question in a minute.
Been asked to be taken about 3 times already.
If you say that this amendment, say aye.
Says no. The effect to the original as amended, covering E for North Georgia, microphone 7.
Just a question, Mr. Moderator, the chairman said 14-15. Was that an editorial change? It should be 14-5.
14-5, I'm sorry.
Right. Ready to vote on North Georgia. All in favor say aye. Opposed no. It is so ordered, Pacific. The exception in October 27, 1977, in relation to the examination and reception of William Gilchrist, M.D., who had been previously ordained by the Trinity Gospel Chapel. Dr. Grist was received and ordained by Pacific Presbytery without being required to fulfill several portions of the regular examination. The committee recommends that the General Assembly ask Pacific Presbytery to complete the substitute motion in relation to the ordination of Dr. Grist. The record does not show what the substance of that motion was. If they ordained him under the Quaternary Clause, reasons for excluding parts of the regular examination should be noted. The committee also recommends that the General Assembly direct all prosecutors to note that all men should be received as candidates before licensure. So, another instant there at that day.
He'll be
finished
forever.
Also that day, Reverend Charles Turner had a call close in his hand before the examination was sustained. January 26, 1978, the question and examination of Mr. Miller, the portion of the exam dealing with his Christian experience, was read by another member of the presbytery.
The record does not indicate that he gave personal testimony of his conversion and call to the ministry.
Microphone 7.
Don Clement, Central Georgia. I'd like to move an amendment by adding a new paragraph at the end that reads as follows. That the Committee on Judicial Business, the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business, be instructed to send a representative to at least every other meeting of Pacific Presbytery during the coming year to provide guidance and counsel to the Presbytery and report to the 7th General Assembly resolution of the exceptions of the 5th and 6th General Assembly. If I receive a second, I'd like to speak to it.
You have your second.
I've got to add some words. Mr. Moderator, one of the reports that we postponed was judicial business. In judicial business, page 506, they were recommending that they do this. They wanted to do it, to send their representative to the Pacific to help them out. So that takes care of the first part of my motion. The second part of my motion deals with the exceptions to both 5th and 6th General Assembly. At the last General Assembly, we took exceptions to this presbytery on ordaining men without proper procedure, and those exceptions were not answered by the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business this year. I'd like those picked up at this time along with these, so the whole matter could be closed once and for all.
Microphone 10.
My name is Garrett Young from the Pacific Presbytery. I'm sorry that these minutes indicate that something wasn't done that had been done, because all men who are examined in our Pacific Presbytery go through what the church order requires. These men have been so questioned by a committee of 5. They have been examined before presbytery. They've covered all of their theological positions and their biblical, and the examinations have taken place. So I can't see why this is because of a neglect of recording.
That could very well be, sir, and there's nothing in the motion that I heard that would imply otherwise.
Mr. Moderator.
Stated clerk.
I should report to the Assembly at this same time last year you assigned me the task of attending each meeting of Pacific Presbytery. I've enjoyed going to California and to Arizona over this past year, and have not found that presbytery as out of order as is suggested by this motion or by the motion of the Judicial Business Committee. They did answer all of this. It was submitted. My own office submitted it to the Judicial Business Committee. I do not know why it doesn't appear in their report. I helped them to frame the answers.
And I know they were answered. And I think they should have been satisfactory to the Judicial Business Committee. Why they want a continued visitation of that presbytery, I'm not sure. The presbytery has a number of men who are not familiar with our tradition about these things, but I think they're getting more familiar with them. And I'm not sure that it's going to be necessary to have a continued visitation to that one presbytery. It might be well to have them to all of these that have exceptions if you're going to do this.
Microphone 5.
Pacific Presbytery is beginning to think we're being picked on. Now, we did have the stated clerk of the General Assembly all year, and he was a great help to us. But the truth of the matter is that it was in the recording, not the carrying out of proper action by the presbytery. And with the General Assembly understanding this, I would hope they'd vote down that other motion.
Bill, are you seeking on this motion?
Yes, I'm calling for the question, sir. Pastor Bill Rose of Warrior Presbytery.
You got it. The question has been called for. If you wish to vote on the amendment by adding a new paragraph, if you wish to vote on the amendment, will you say aye? If you want to talk about it some more, say no. We're going to vote. Do you want the paragraph read? Yes. Mr. Clerk, can you read it?
Beyond my ability.
Beyond your ability? I'm a little blind tonight myself, but I'll be glad to try. Let the Committee on Judicial Business, Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business, be instructed to send a representative to at least every other meeting of Pacific Presbytery during the coming year to provide guidance and counsel to the presbytery and report to the 7th General Assembly resolution of the exceptions of the 5th and 6th General Assemblies.
Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, before you vote on that, or there is the record in on page 506 about their finding those corrections in order.
We're going to vote on the amendment. If you support the amendment, will you say aye? If you oppose the amendment, will you say no?
No.
Then we are back to the committee's recommendations on Pacific Presbytery. We don't want Don Field picked on to the extent that he walks too far.
Well, could I make one change? On page 2209, the last word should be ordination.
2209 should be ordination. I don't know that it's absolutely germane, but since you have voted, I should like to mention that Dr. Grist, as some of you know, is one of the world's outstanding eye surgeons, serving as a missionary, and that he was at home because of a cancerous condition. And he considers it the fulfillment of his lifetime ambition to be ordained to the gospel ministry in addition to his the minister of the PCA, in addition to his spectacular service as an eye surgeon in Kenya, I believe it is. But I waited until after you voted before I made that comment. Oh, we do have to approve as a whole, don't we? Approve the statement concerning Pacific Presbytery as a whole. Will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Let's go to the next one.
Presbytery of South Florida, the exception of October 18, 1977, missionary Doug Heck was received in absentia. Presbytery noted that this was an extraordinary case. Later information from Mission of the World indicates that they have no relationship with Mr. Heck, that he is a Evangelical Alliance missionary. The committee recommends that the General Assembly instruct South Florida that Doug Heck be examined when he returns to the United States.
Go on.
January 17, 1978, with the exception, Michael Craig was examined and ordained in the Ascension Presbytery for the purpose of working as an assistant pastor in South Florida. The committee recommends that the General Assembly point out to both Ascension Presbytery and the Presbytery of South Florida that Booker Church Order 22-3 directs that a presbytery shall not ordain a minister in one presbytery for a work in another presbytery.
Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, Byron Snap, Calvary Presbytery. I would like to move an amendment to the committee recommendation on the minutes of October the 18th.
What did you say it was?
An amendment.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, let's hear it.
That General Assembly instructs South Florida that Doug Hecht be removed from the rolls as a member of South Florida Presbytery until he is examined when he returns to the state.
Been seconded. Microphone 16.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to speak, although I'm not a member of South Florida, against this motion. I think when the record has been traced out and all the evidence is in, you'll find that Doug Hecht was received as a member of the PCA church at the time of the PCUS-PCA transition, with all of the pastors in Everglades Presbytery coming in to the PCA as a body. And I think Doug Hecht had a letter in, although he was in Japan at the time, I think he had a letter in requesting that his name be carried along with the others. And I think this is kind of a strong position to take in light of that possible historical grandfather action.
Microphone 15.
Les Thompson, South Florida Presbytery. Mr. Fraser is very correct in this statement. I'm the permanent clerk of our presbytery, and there was, for some reason, the letter did not get into our original minutes, and this was later brought up through correspondence with Mr. Hecht. He originally had made this request when all of us made the transfer, because he is a minister ordained under the Presbyterian Church in the United States, and he did make this request, and regretfully we did not deal with it in time. And so this was why it was done in this manner.
Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, in light of these matters, I will withdraw. Thank
you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are we ready to act on South Florida? I think if we're going to complete action on South Florida, we really need to do something about that recommendation. Number 16, microphone 16. Great.
Mr. Moderator. I have a question about the notation on January 17. I'm not sure what the appropriate action is, but paragraph 14.2 of the Book of Church Order has been interpreted by some as allowing the member of one presbytery to labor in another presbytery with the second presbytery's permission, and it would seem to me that that may be contrary to 22.3, and I would need your help in knowing to whom that should be referred or what action should be taken, but I think it does need to be clarified. We had an action suggested to us on the basis of 14.2. It was not the initial ordination of a man, but it did involve the transfer of an ordained minister.
If I understand your question, sir, the answer would be that there's a difference between laboring outside the bounds of the presbytery or within the bounds of the presbytery and laboring as an assistant pastor of a church of a presbytery.
I see. So the issue is assistant pastor then?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
That's my understanding. Is that correct?
Would you like me to read 22.3? Very brief.
If that's correct, then let's don't spend too much more time. That's correct, sir. Mike, the concern of the moderator is that if the information that's been brought to the assembly is accurate and if the amendment has been withdrawn, then what constitutes an exception really is not an exception. But if we adopt it as it is presently stated, it will constitute an exception, and Mr. Hecht will be required to stand for examination when he comes back. Microphone 14.
George McGuire, Gulf Coast. The minutes do not reflect what has been spoken of on the floor here. I read them myself, and it was very difficult to find out exactly what they do reflect, but they do not reflect anything about him coming in with all the rest of the men.
That's what the permanent clerk said, that all the rest of the men came in a body, and that for reasons that seemed to be unknown, his name was omitted from the list of the others, but no one seems to know why. Is that what you said, sir? Microphone 15.
Yes, sir, that is what I said. He had made a request at the time when we made the move, but somehow nothing was acted on at the time. And there was a great deal of debate on the floor of our presbytery as to whether he should be examined or not, especially since he was working outside the bounds of presbytery with the Missionary Alliance, this Evangelical Alliance mission. And the desire of many of us at presbytery was that he be re-examined when he returned. And that's why the minutes are vague at this point.
You do have that desire within your presbytery?
Yes, a number of men expressed it.
Then the recommendation of the General Assembly would not be out of order. Microphone 10, would you still want to speak?
Do you still feel something is needed to this?
Not in the light of that explanation.
Okay.
Microphone 13.
San Mateo Ascension. I move that the October 18th notation be removed from the record.
It has been moved that the notation of an exception on October 18 minutes be stricken from the recommendation. Did you receive a second? There was a second. You wish to speak to it?
Moderator, may I speak?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
I would speak against it on the ground that the only records, the only way assemblies know how presbyteries function is by their records, and that presbytery records must be kept accurately. Perhaps another motion would be in order that the records be corrected or an appendage made to later records that this was an oversight, but to erase it from the record would not be in order, in my opinion.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, when you erase something, what you really do is you say you're going to erase, but then you run lines through it. It's still going to be there. And I think what the chairman has said is exactly what ought to be done, that an updated minute now saying, stating the case and just putting it in the record would be the thing to do.
Right. The motion to strike is before us. Not from the presbytery minutes, but from this report. If you favor striking the recommendation from the Committee of Commissioners report, if you favor that, will you say aye? Opposed, no. If you accept the statement on the presbytery of South Florida G as it is, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Will you go on to H, Mr. Chairman?
Presbytery of Texas, exception July 27, 1977. The terms of the call for James Pancoast from Mission United States were not printed in the minutes. The committee recommends that General Assembly direct Presbytery to secure and record the terms of Mr. Pancoast's call. October 28, 29, 1977, with the exception that the terms of the call for J.G. DeCock and Thomas E. Ramsey were not included in the minutes. The committee recommends that the General Assembly direct Texas Presbytery to secure the records to secure and record the terms of the call for Mr. DeCock and Mr. Thomas. October 29, 1977, with the exception, the ordination of Thomas Ramsey is irregular, as the presbytery did not require the presentation of a theological paper as part of the examination. The committee recommends that the General Assembly direct Texas Presbytery to either require Mr. Ramsey to present a theological paper or to include in their minutes reasons why they did not require the paper.
Microphone 7.
Mr. Moderator, Vaughn Hathaway, Grace Presbytery. I have an amendment to this report, but I need your help, because previously you ruled that we should deal with each section as we come to it, and item I has the same problem in it.
Go ahead.
Thomas Ramsey.
All right. I move this, that those portions of the report calling for, quote, recording of, end of quote, terms of call read, quote, approval of terms of call. If I get a second, I'll speak to it. Mr. Moderator?
You have your second.
The Book of Church Order does not call for the recording of terms of call. 22-1 says that the call merely must be, the terms of call must be approved. The citations in the Book of Church Order given by the committee in Roman numeral I, I mean capital letter I, have no bearing on actions of presbytery.
Well, now, just a minute, my brother. You're talking about I. You mean H?
Capital letter H in item 1 and 2, and capital letter I in item 2. It says no record is made of the terms of call. The Book of Charter...
Oh, that's on a separate page.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
May I speak to that?
Our chairman may speak to that. Yes, sir?
Chapter 21, which deals with the election of pastors, stipulates the congregational meeting, so forth, and the call itself is stipulated, is written out and has certain terms in it. And since the call, the written call that is placed in the hands of the minister contains the terms, it is the thinking of the committee that not only should the presbytery record that this church desires the pastoral services of such a man, but the call itself, which includes the terms, must be in the minutes. And it's up to the assembly to decide whether this is so.
Then the committee is really saying that the calls of these men do not appear in the minutes. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the fact that they were asked to serve as pastor is there, but call in the sense of the written call, the form that is in the Book of Church Order and has to be followed, that the written call with its terms would not be included.
Microphone 6.
Boy Spooner from Western Carolina. May I speak to this as an amicus curiae?
No, sir. You may speak to it as a commissioner.
All right. I hope I'm a friend. What I refer to is that our own presbytery has been cited for the same thing in this separate sheet of paper. And my study of the Book of Church Order is the same, that there is no a requirement to record that document. It is our practice to say, see paper so-and-so. And we keep these calls in a separate file apart from the minutes which committee received as the printed minutes.
And I hope the stated clerk is listening, which I don't think he is at this moment. But I'm getting ready to ask the stated clerk if a minutes of presbytery should say that the terms of the call are approved, or do the minutes of the presbytery, or must the minutes of the presbytery say what the terms of the call actually are in dollars and cents? That's the issue before us in the amendment. The issue before us in the amendment is whether or not a minute may say the terms of the call were approved, and that's adequate, or whether the actual terms of the call must be spelled out in the minutes of the presbytery.
I think it may be subject to challenge. It's certainly the practice generally to include the terms. In other words, you give the whole call, which says that you may be free from worldly cares, and we promise you so much. Here it is in the book. All of those parts there. And
in the
that
minutes?
Is in the Book of Church Order.
No, I meant in the minutes of the presbytery.
But that the minutes should reflect that call. It seems to me that ordinarily our practice has been to include the terms of the call and to approve that when you do it.
Mr. Moderator, may I respond?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 21, to which the Committee of Commissioners has referred, is entitled The Election of Pastors. This chapter refers to the responsibility of the congregation. Chapter 22 refers to the responsibility of the presbytery. And chapter 22, paragraph 1 says, when a call has been presented to the presbytery, if found in order. and the presbytery deem it for the good of the church, they shall place it in the hands of the person.
You want to continue microphone six?
Just that I think that maybe the Western Carolina item might be considered here and not discussed again. We hold to the same thing. We do keep a copy of this call in our records. We do not include them in the printed minutes of the presbytery.
Microphone 12.
Mr. Moderator, Bob Sweet from Western Carolina. Paragraph 21-5 says, among other things, in about the fifth line down, speaking of the moderator of the congregational meeting now, the moderator shall proceed to draw a call in due form. And then in 21-6, it sets forth the form. Now, this form needs to be approved by the presbytery. And in order for the General Assembly to review the work of the presbytery to see whether or not that's been in due form, they need a copy of it. And I think that we here can express the sense of the General Assembly by the way we handle this, that we say, in effect, that having a copy of the call appended to the minutes as an annex or appendix will help us resolve this in future assemblies.
You're supporting the original text of the committee's recommendation?
Yes, sir.
I think we're ready to vote on the amendment, which would change terms of the call to a record of, let's see, that those portions of the report calling for recording of terms of the call read approval of terms of the call. If you support the amendment, will you say aye? Opposed, no. We're back to the original. Lost. Are you ready to vote on the original recommendations of the committee in respect to Texas? If you support the recommendations of the committee with respect to Texas, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Go on to the additional. Or do you want to take up
Western Carolina supplement?
We'll take up Western Carolina supplement at this time.
Exception of August 16, 1977. An examination of the Reverend Richard Dye. Mr. Dye was examined in Christian experience and theology. The record does not show that Mr. Dye was examined in sacraments and church government. The committee recommends that the General Assembly direct the presbytery either to correct the record to show that Mr. Dye was properly examined or to examine Mr. Dye in church government and sacraments. December 3, 1977, no record is made of the terms of the call for the Reverend Calvin Jett. The committee recommends that the General Assembly direct the presbytery to include the terms of the call in their minutes.
Since this, in essence, covers what we've already voted upon, do you have something else, microphone six?
Yes, I have something that's unusual for me. That's an apology. The first matter with Mr. Dye, I think that this is an error of the clerk. From the raw notes to the finished notes, this may have been left out. I do not have these with me. And so I apologize for that, not only for this assembly, but to our presbytery. But I still hold to my position with regard to the second one, that we do have that call, that it is a part of our records. It is not included in the printed minutes, which we make up every 6 months, and which the committee has. We do have the records of those calls. We have the exact wording of them, but they are in a separate file.
Are you ready to approve the recommendation in respect to Western Carolina?
Mr. Moderator, I would just make the comment. We've just voted on one prior to this in which the Assembly is interpreting that portion of the book now that presbytery should include it in the record.
Yes.
And I think that ought to be the practice hereafter.
If you favor the recommendation of the committee, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is so ordered. Now, additional recommendations on page 2211.
A, the minutes of Covenant Presbytery, October 18, 1977, January 10, 1978, April 18, 1978, were submitted in the form of newspaper copy and are not official minutes suitable for permanent records. Therefore, they cannot be finally examined, approved, and stamped by the General Assembly. The committee recommends that the Presbytery be directed to submit an appropriate copy for approval.
Microphone 5.
I have a question. Covenant Presbytery has always printed its minutes in bound form, and it has excellent minutes as a general rule. The fault here was not intentional. The printer simply didn't deliver our bound minutes. They are probably ready by now. Has the set of minutes which contains the action of Presbytery been approved so far as it covers the action? Is Presbytery simply being required to demonstrate that it has a bound copy of its minutes and being permitted to receive the content as received?
My committee members can correct me if I'm in error, but it's my understanding that the basic objection here is that these are not suitable for permanent records.
So they are approved.
It is the form in which they are presented, which is unacceptable.
It's form and not, it's form and not content, Mr. Knox Speaker.
Microphone 14. George McGuire, Gulf Coast. Your minutes have not been stamped, by my understanding, is and approved.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, the practice will be in the State Clerk's office. We go back to the last stamp, last time it was signed, and we'll pick up all the minutes since that stamping and bring them to the next assembly. So they'll probably get reviewed by next year's assembly, too.
I believe, sir, it is form and not content that they're talking about. Are you ready for the record 15? Microphone 15.
Mr. Moderator, I want to speak against the motion. Let me read from the guidelines for keeping Presbytery minutes. As I read them, I don't understand that it requires what they are requiring there. The minutes of Presbytery should be kept either in a lock-type record book with numbered pages, or be printed, mimeographed, or otherwise reproduced, as they seem to have been. It says further, the minutes should be typewritten or printed or reproduced from typewritten masters and should be neat and legible. And again, it appears that the requirements have been satisfied. I see a difficulty in taking exception when the requirements have been satisfied.
Satisfied. Microphone 14.
George McGuire, Gulf Coast. He wouldn't see the difficulty if he had had to go through and extract from their magazine, their newspaper report, the minutes. It was an impossible task to leaf through all their news, which we had already read before, and try to get down to the minutes themselves. The committee did not feel that this was appropriate and did not feel that this was what that paragraph was talking about.
If I may say briefly, we felt part of our responsibility was that we would encourage presbyteries to keep records for the purpose of history. We are making church history. Amen. And a newspaper copy may be an economical way of disseminating information, but it is not as permanent as a bound book of minutes or minutes that may be printed and then put into a binder. And this is what this was our concern.
If you favor recommendation 4A, what do you say? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Let's hear 4B.
Mr. Moderator, 4B and C have already been acted in the negative by this assembly. I move to D. The Presbyterians be reminded that according to the Book of Church Order, all applicants for ordination must be candidates under the care of Presbytery first, and that all men coming into the Presbytery must be examined whether or not they have been members in that Presbytery before. This is to prevent some of the problems we've encountered this year.
I see no one asking for a microphone. Without objection, 4D is adopted.
That the General Assembly express itself on the matter of accepting men ordained in independent ecclesiastical bodies with a view to helping presbyteries decide whether or not to reordain such men. In reading the minutes, Mr. Moderator, there seem to be a number of discussions in many presbyteries when a man ordained in an independent church presents himself for acceptance into the presbytery, there's usually a debate as should we reordain him or just examine him and accept him.
Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, would a motion be in order to answer that?
A motion would be in order because the recommendation itself is a little bit vague.
You're going to have to stop and think how to word that. Move that General Assembly direct presbyteries receiving men from non-reformed churches, reordain them.
Motion has been made that presbyteries receiving men from non-reformed bodies reordain them. Is second to this motion? Is there a second to this motion? It has been seconded.
You want to speak to this, Daniel?